Welcome to another episode of Worst Collection Ever. This is the show where we tell you about the worst comic book collection in existence, and it just happens to belong to us. I'm Jen.
I'm Sean.
Oh man, like you had a lot of energy and I felt like I didn't have any energy. I'm trying to like compensate.
I just had a good swig of water.
Oh, all right.
Swig of this Pellegrino. I feel really fancy drinking this, but
so we saw Shazam.
Yeah, let's talk about Shazam.
Sure.
Why don't we just start off with what we thought?
You know what? I liked Shazam. I don't think it was my favorite superhero movie, but I enjoyed it. I liked seeing it. I liked that it was. I mean, obviously, to me, it wasn't as good as like Spider-Man: Homecoming, but I liked what I liked about Shazam is the same thing I liked about Spider-Man: Homecoming. Is it wasn't this huge global thing.
Uh-huh.
It was a small story.
Yeah, yeah.
And they did have this like, oh, it could like have global impact. But for the most part, you know, just kind of hung out with Shazam in Philly and you know, the villain was there and that was it.
Yeah, no, I was cool with that. I kind of like when it's just contained like that.
Yeah, it wasn't like, oh my god, here comes the alien spaceship. It was just kind of this, you know, Shazam is doing this little small thing because he's a brand new hero.
There's definitely some city fighting.
Yeah, that, there was, you know, definitely some city fighting.
I try to see that, especially in like the DC movies. I'm like,
well, you just never know.
Right.
Yeah. Did you like it?
I liked it. I thought that it wasn't my favorite movie. And granted, I mean, not every movie is my favorite movie.
No.
So it's kind of a weird way to explain that. But it was good, but it also...
It's Shazam's really dumb.
It's a dumb... Well, here's the thing. I am not a big Captain Marvel Shazam.
That's my thing, too. That's what I mean by Shazam's really dumb.
Yeah, like I'm not really...
There's
like,
so many dumb things.
There's a lot of dumb things going on with him, but also it's one of those things where I see the character and I'm just like, I would much rather be reading something else than worrying about, you know, what Shazam is up to. I just find him to be kind of hokey and it doesn't really I just don't feel it like I should.
Yeah.
You know, I guess like other people are like, oh man, this is so much fun and whatever. And it influences me and blah, 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 this, that, and the other thing, you know, cause actually it was interesting how we were watching Alamo Drafthouse where we saw it, which we saw it at 9 a.m. in the morning.
Yes, 9:15 a.m.
Which was fucking rad.
Yeah, actually
because
it was great.
Nobody was there and you get breakfast food.
Yeah.
And you can have coffee, which is that's the thing. Cause like, remember how we go to see a movie like early and you'd be like, hey, Arclight, give us some coffee.
And they look at you like you're crazy.
They look at you as like, who the fuck wants coffee in a movie theater?
Get and you're
the
like, fuck we out want here. Coffee cause it's fucking 9 o'clock in the goddamn morning.
It's like, look, you don't have I can't bring my Starbucks in here.
Right.
You won't have a Starbucks in here. If you had a Starbucks in here, Jesus Christ, I mean, that'd be the fucking end of it.
That's it. I would never do anything but see a movie.
Exactly, because I want to see a movie. I'm going to drink my Starbucks coffee, and it's going to be fucking great. It'd be great.
Let me be happy.
But you can just order some coffee sitting at your table, you know? Get some coffee. Get yourself a breakfast sandwich or whatever, you know, or whatever they have. And it wasn't bad. Yeah, you know, I was cool with that.
Yeah.
You know, get yourself a mimosa geez.
We did have some mimosas.
So it was pretty rad, you know, and I like that setup. But the movie, first of all, I want to say it was very long.
Yeah,
surprisingly long.
It was longer than it needed to be for sure.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of filler in it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because we're trying, I feel like it's one of those things where like they're really trying hard to get out as much about Captain Marvel or Shazam as possible.
Mm-hmm.
So we're just like, okay, cause I feel like it's something where they didn't think they're going to be able to get a sequel out of this.
Yeah.
Even though they might, or maybe they won't. I don't know how well it really did.
I think it did pretty well.
It probably did good.
Yeah.
Considering that it's, you know, it's in the part where we have Avengers coming up at the end of the month. And there really hasn't been...
There's really nothing in the theater right now.
There's really nothing in the theater right now. I mean, well, Pet Sematary came out this weekend.
Oh, did it?
Yeah, and there's Us, you know.
Oh, well, we definitely want to see Us. But I mean, I wouldn't say that I mean, outside of the adult audience, you can take your kids to see Shazam.
Yeah, there's not like a big superhero movie. I wouldn't
say take your six-year-old to go see Pet Sematary.
Take or do.
Or I mean, or do, but I mean, like, most parents aren't going.
Maybe your son, maybe your kid's a big John Lithgow fan.
That your kid might really be into John Lithgow.
He might be watching a lot of Third Rock reruns, and he might just be like, look, yeah, Dad.
I don't know the maturity level of your specific child, but I would say most parents wouldn't take their kids
right
to see Pet Sematary.
But you should take your kids to see Shazam.
Yeah.
It's a very PG-13 movie, although there are parts of it that are dark as fuck.
Really dark, actually.
Well, it's kind of like how Aquaman was, where it's like you're just like, oh, here's a bunch of water shit. And it's like, holy shit, look at those fucking monsters.
Yeah, and all of a sudden it's fucking terrifying, and you're like, oh my
terrifying!
God. Really terrifying.
Really fucking terrifying.
Though I will say, and I, you know, there is this one part where we are first really introduced to the villain. Yeah,
so Mark Strong plays Dr. Savanna.
Yeah, and by the way, great coat.
Yeah.
What
Mark,
a great coat.
Mark Strong actually plays a lot of random ass DC villains. You notice that?
Yes.
Because he was also Parallax. No, he wasn't Parallax. Was he Evan Sir?
Oh, he
or not Evan Sir. No, he was
Sinestro.
Sinestro, that's right. Sinestro.
Yes.
He was Sinestro.
Yep.
He was Dr. Savanna. And then he was also the lead villain in Kick-Ass.
Oh, he was?
He was
father.
Fucking what's his face's father? Yeah, McLovin's dad.
You mean motherfucker's dad?
Motherfucker. Well, yeah.
McLovin, same guy.
Well, it's, you know what's funny is I was just thinking about this today because I was thinking about how Christopher Mintz plays Plaz, whatever, or McLovin.
Mm-hmm.
I think, from what I understand, I remember years ago, this was obviously after when Superbad came out, which is Superbad has been out for 12 years.
Oh my God.
Which is fucking wild, but.
Oh, we're so old. we're literally. I think 2008.
Yeah,
death.
The movie came out 2008. Yeah, because I think it came out before I left for Boston.
Uh huh.
So yeah, I think 2008. Like he hates to be called, I think, McLovin.
How about motherfucker? Is he cool with that one?
I mean, you can call him motherfucker because I remember they were supposed to get like a friend of mine was going to book him on a podcast for whatever thing he was doing. Then
did they call him?
But there he's like something where it's like, oh, but don't call him McLovin. Or don't, I guess, maybe, I don't know if you're supposed to talk about McLovin, but it's literally the only thing I can think of him that he did other than Kick-Ass. But yeah, so Mark Strong's in this movie. He's great. I think he's really good.
Great. Yeah, he is good. And what a coat.
Great coat.
God damn, it's a great coat.
They actually make Dr. Savanna, who usually comes off as being, I don't know, at least to me, because I'm not a big Shazam fan, so right. Anytime I see like anything that's involved with Shazam, I'm like, that looks corny as fuck.
Yes,
you know, villains, heroes, whatever. And but he plays a menacing,
yeah, he really does,
scientist guy. Yeah, you know, whatever,
he really really does. He's pretty great.
But the scene, but
there
though.
Is this one scene where like you finally see like his final form, if you will, right? Like the villain he really is. And there is this scene where he is in a boardroom and he does this thing that is both dark as shit and hilarious.
Oh, is it?
Because it comes out of nowhere and I could not stop laughing and I realized that is not the appropriate reaction.
I know. Is that what they were going for?
No.
But it was goddamn funny.
It's like, you know when, if you've ever seen Meet Joe Black when Brad Pitt gets hit by the car and everybody fucking starts laughing? It's like that. Because you just don't see it coming and you don't know how else to react.
Right.
So.
Yeah, but there's also bits in the movie that are really funny. There's actually a lot of really good humor in the movie that
there
isn't completely at the expense of, like, it doesn't go over your head. It's just very broad humor.
Yeah, and it's fun. And it really is like, you know, if a kid all of a sudden got superpowers, like, they would do these things.
The problem that I had with, the big problem I had with this, though, because I was watching this movie, and Zachary Levi plays Shazam.
Yes.
As Shazam.
Yes.
And I think he's really funny as that role.
Yeah.
My problem with it, though, is that for whatever reason,
like the direction to, like, every time somebody says something, he goes, oh, hey, dude, huh?
Yeah.
Like that.
Right, but here's the thing.
That was my problem with
it. But I feel like the kid, Billy Batson as the kid,
didn't do that.
didn't do that. Like, he didn't act like that. Like, he, because like Shazam as an adult was more of like a like an overreacting spaz.
Yeah, like an overdramatic child.
An overreacting weird, you know, just guy.
Yeah.
Who
he was really like very overdramatic child. Much more, I feel, as Shazam than he ever than Billy Batson was, and you're absolutely right. And that was my problem
because Billy Batson just seemed like a snotty kid.
Yeah, he was just snotty,
which is a smug kid who, like, you know, who's kind of street smart, and you know, and then he turns into Shazam, and he's like, oh, I don't know, hey, he'll hit me with this board or whatever.
Dude,
you know,
I don't know.
Hey, what's up? I'm stupid. Hey, shoot me in the face or whatever, you know. And I mean, it makes for fun, makes for funny moments. Yes. But there's a lot of it just didn't feel right.
Yeah, it was weird.
Yeah,
was weird.
And so it definitely, you know, but they definitely you know, follow through with some other stuff in the Marvel Captain Marvel universe, Shazam universe, or whatever, sure, when you ever call it. There's some stuff in there. I'm not really going to talk about it because you maybe should go see the movie. Because you should go see it.
I think people should go see it. It's enjoyable.
Well, here's the thing. It's
again a little bit too long, but it was enjoyable. I mean, I had a good time.
Well, here's the thing. Also, it's a DC movie. Not
dark as like visually dark. I could actually see shit.
Yeah, and it's not rampantly negative and just.
And it's not depressing.
Depressing is because let's say Man of Steel, Batman v Superman. Depressing as fuck.
Yeah.
Justice League.
So sad.
Suicide Squad. I mean, Wonder Woman and Aquaman.
Right.
You know, whatever. I mean, those were good movies too. But, I mean, this one was actually like the first DC movie in a long while that's had some sort of, you know, actual levity in it.
Aquaman definitely did, but I feel like this kind of gets it more right.
Well, it felt more natural in this sense because, you know, like Aquaman, you know, as Aquaman, it just basically just felt like Jason Momoa,
yes,
as real life person.
Yeah, Jason Momoa was just in a movie.
It was just Jason Momoa, and he just happened to be called Aquaman.
Yeah, pretty much.
I mean, I still liked Aquaman a lot.
I did too.
I think it was as for an Aquaman movie in 2018.
Yeah. We got something good.
We got something good. It wasn't, you know, fucking Vinny Chase or whatever the fuck it is, you know, running around. Or it wasn't just some dumb bunch of dumb fish jokes.
Yes, that's true.
You know, because that's a thing that we probably could have, you know, could have been saddled with. But
oh,
I mean,
yes.
But at least this movie, you know, the Shazam movie, yeah, at least there's some good humor in it. There's some surprises in it. I don't want to spoil anything, so go see it.
Yeah,
you know,
it was fun.
But there's some fun stuff in it. And, yeah, you know, it's definitely, I'm glad that they made the attempt.
Yes.
To. I mean, because I'm saying, because you could have made a Captain Marvel or Shazam movie and just have it being just as fucking corny as shit and just really just not fun, just not enjoyable to me.
Yeah.
At least for me, it wouldn't be. But I think they made it work.
You even see and this is towards the beginning of the movie, but you even see that Mr. Mind is there. They did that. He exists in this universe. And
also, I want to say too, so the wizard Shazam.
Yeah.
Look, I mean, I think it's in the trailer, so I'm not spoiling anything, but it looks corny. It looks shitty as fuck. I mean, at least the makeup, I feel like you could have did a better job because it feels like a Key and Peele sketch.
It really does. It's just like they just glued so much beard.
Was it Damon Hanzu?
Yes.
I can never say his name right.
Damon Hanzu.
Who's also double dipping in here in comic book movies.
Is.
As was Zachary Levi. I didn't realize he was Fandral in Thor. I was like,
yeah, neither did I.
I was like, what are you doing? Like, really?
Yeah, but like, they just glued like 18 beards to this guy's face. Like, it just looks stupid. So, yeah, it was something.
Yeah. I mean, it looked like a Key and Peele sketch that they did really cheaply and really hastily.
Yeah. There's the villains, and then there's monsters. And the monsters, for me, were just CGI glop.
Yeah. Well, that's definitely, I feel like that's the only thing that DCE knows how to do.
They're
that,
just like, hey, make it gloppy.
I feel like, cool. Well, think about it. Like, anytime they make like a CGI monster, I mean, from
Doomsday,
Suicide Squad, whatever the fuck that thing was.
Oh, yeah.
Aquaman. I mean, Wonder Woman, just gray Monster Glop.
Yeah, yeah.
It's always like, it's just, you know, Steppenwolf. I mean, come on.
Yeah,
it's
no,
just,
you're right.
It's just, they when they were like, hey, let's make a monster, he was like, can you just have some colors?
Can it look, like, worse than what video games are doing today? Then we'll put it in this DC movie.
Right?
And that's kind of what
it might as well. Look, Doomsday might as well have been in this movie. You would have been there and be like, hey, it's Doomsday. It's
like, he would have fit right in. You'd have been like, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That makes perfect sense.
It's one of the most iconic and significant villains in the DC universe.
Looks like a fucking cave troll from Lord of the Rings.
And yeah, and which is just, I think it's pretty sad.
It is sad, actually.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, so that was that. Did you want to talk about your favorite event of the year?
What, Thanksgiving?
No.
Oh. WrestleMania, yes.
WrestleMania.
Yeah, I'm not going to say much about it because you can literally go on the web and just find every hot take about
it.
Yeah,
but what's your hot take?
My hot take was the show's too long.
It's too fucking long. That's also my hot take.
Well, that's, I mean, first of all, the show's too long.
Christ, man. 7+ hours of wrestling?
Yes, too much wrestling.
So, let me explain. For Sean to say that this is too much wrestling. So, WrestleMania is not one day in our house. WrestleMania is a weekend event.
Yep.
So,
well, we start
Friday night, we start with NXT TakeOver,
uh-huh,
which was great, and it was the perfect length for a show. It was like 2.5 hours.
They always get that right.
Thumbs up on NXT. But at the very end, like, what, the last hour?
No, it was the same time, actually.
Oh, same time. We had an independent show.
Yeah, so here's the thing.
Was it Spring Break?
It was Joey Janela's Spring Break Part 1.
Yes.
Joey Janela's Spring Break 3 Part 1.
Yeah.
And then the next day...
Well, so you had to get that streaming through a specific app. So Sean has Joey Janela's Spring Break on the laptop, and playing on the TV is NXT TakeOver.
Double dipping.
Basically double fisting wrestling, looking in between the two and checking Twitter at the same time. So Saturday, we get up, we go to fucking Shazam at 9:15 in the morning because we had wrestling to watch.
I'm glad that worked out.
It actually did work out pretty well. So we went to see Shazam. We left. We came home. I went shopping. And then Sean watched the Hall of Fame induction ceremony for the WWE.
Uh-huh.
New Japan.
So New Japan. Then it was also at the same time New Japan, Ring of Honor,
Supercard.
Supercard at MSG, which, since I have New Japan World, I was able to watch it. I normally wouldn't have gotten it if I didn't.
Yes.
But since I had it,
yes,
might as well put it on.
Double dipping on that. So once both of those were over, Joey Janela's Spring Break Part 2.
Yes.
Started at like 10:30.
Yes.
So then he watched that.
Then I watched that. And then Sunday.
Until about 2 o'clock in the morning.
Then Sunday is WrestleMania.
And then Sunday was WrestleMania. The pre-show started
at 3.
At 3.
We were there. We were at our friend John's house.
Yes, we went over to and I felt really bad because, like, by the end of it, I'm like, we have overstayed our welcome. Because holy shit. And then they were like, no, you got to finish WrestleMania. But at the same time, I was like, Jesus Christ, we have been
They were very
house.
Grateful to have us over. And
they were very gracious, but I was like,
yeah,
it
was fun.
I have literally been imposing on your space for almost 8 hours at this point.
Yeah.
Because we showed up when the pre-show started and we didn't leave until WrestleMania was over. So we were there at 3. We didn't walk out the door until after 10:30. So, you know, I'm only a casual wrestling fan, even though I have opinions because of you. What made it really difficult for me to watch that much wrestling is it is exhausting. For WrestleMania, there's no break. So, like, even the matches that I cared about, like, yeah, I really care about the women's main event. I was psyched for that. I wanted to see it. You know, by the time I got there, I couldn't even enjoy it.
Yeah.
Because I was so fucking ready for it to be over that I couldn't even enjoy what was happening.
Yeah.
And for that to be my takeaway of the entire event was, I couldn't wait for it to be over.
Yeah.
Is shitty, because considering there were a lot of really good matches on there, and there weren't a lot of, like, bullshit filler matches, and the ones that were bullshit filler is what killed the show.
So yeah.
That's what I think sucks.
Yeah. Yeah. It's here's the thing. It's I used to, back in the day, like, when you say WrestleMania, like, used to have WrestleManias with, like, a lot of matches on it.
Well, this one had 16.
I feel like they would have, like, 10 or 11 matches. Uh-huh. But then they would have, like a break in between, like a 20-minute intermission.
A fucking intermission, man.
Just intermission, you know, and they would just do that, and you'd come back or whatever, and it was fucking great.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is, like you said, yeah, there's a lot of stuff that's going on that didn't necessarily need to be there, because it's such a spectacle at this point. Like, they really have to, like, double down on everything. And, you know, of course, you know, with it being WrestleMania, the idea is that, you know, it's the big opportunity of the year for everybody on the roster to have some sort of role, whether it be in a battle royal or some sort of match, you know, whatever, so they can get a payday. You know, that's right. Kind of.
And I didn't actually mind the battle royal. I thought both of those were great, and I thought that was played very well. I think what I didn't need was Triple H taking fucking 40 minutes for and Batista to be old. I didn't fucking need Shane and Miz. I don't fucking ever need Shane. Fuck Shane McMahon. I never want to see him wrestle again. But I didn't need that match. I had even a Baron Corbin versus Kurt Angle could have been completely written off.
I don't know why they just don't do, like, just title matches and then, like, one or two grudge matches and just call it a day. Because,
right,
I
like,
mean,
do your battle royals at the very beginning. Throw everybody into them, right? Do your tag matches, do your title matches, whatever. And, like, get it down to, like, 4 hours. Get it to, like, Super Bowl length.
Yeah, even the Super Bowl's not even that long.
The Super Bowl's not as long as WrestleMania. Like, get it to Super Bowl length, and I'll be like,
And the Super Bowl's a fucking football game.
And the Super Bowl's a goddamn slog.
The Super Bowl is an honest-to-goodness football game with the full-on performance in the middle of it, and it's not nearly as long as WrestleMania. Uh-huh. WrestleMania is literally just a bunch of assholes
it's about twice as
in
long.
Tights
yeah.
fighting each other. In the ring,
uh-huh.
and then occasionally, you know, there'll be a fucking sketch, you know, then some other bullshit, and then, but you're still there, and you just have to keep going, and it's
just never stops.
It's, oh my god, it never stops.
Yeah, and why?
Why?
Why, exactly, why?
Well, when we get back, we'll explain why, we'll come back with our book for this week.
For years, the Fire and Water Podcast Network has found its joy talking about comics. From Aquaman and Firestorm to Batman and Plastic Man. From giant treasuries to pocket-sized digests. From massive miniseries events to singular one-shot adventures. From romance to horror to whatever the hell Ohamu or not is. In the last year, they've begun to carve a path through their favorite television shows, such as MASH, Cheers, and Justice League Unlimited. And there's no sign of them stopping. What medium will Fire and Water conquer next? Do you like good music? Introducing Fire and Water Records, the music anthology podcast from the Fire and Water Network. Find your joy in all new ways as members of the Fire and Water Network and their friends discuss favorite songs, albums, concerts, and artists.
Hang on, I've been doing a music show for 2 years.
Featuring Record Revolution.
Join the Brothers Daily as we catalog the essential years that shaped popular music and our own lives.
A Very Daily Christmas.
An annual celebration of our favorite holiday tracks.
Plus, all new episodes of Zoom for Sam.
The show in which I share my joy of Samantha Fox by spotlighting a single every single episode.
And Pod Dylan.
No, not Pod Dylan. We discussed this. That's staying on its own feed.
Not Pod Dylan, but everything else I said, plus so much more. There's even a chance David Ace Gutierrez will show up.
Which brings us back to Fastball, which is really one of the most interesting American bands in the world today. When you think about the number of side projects and solo projects associated with the band, it actually almost outdoes.
Fire and Water Records, a proud part of the Fire and Water Podcast Network.
All right, we're back here on Worst Collection Ever with our book for this week. It is Cloak and Dagger, Volume 2. Number 8 from September 1986. We have covered Cloak and Dagger on this show.
We have, but before. I feel like this was almost like a different.
It was.
Yeah, like a different version of these characters.
No, it's the same characters. It's just it was a different series. So,
well, no, I know it's the same characters, but I mean different, like, because Cloak seems a lot different than I remember him.
Yeah,
because
I remember, so last time we did this book.
It's been a while.
Let's do a Cloak and Dagger book on its own was 2015.
Oh, my.
We were reading it along with an Orion book back when we used to do two comics per episode, yeah. Which was the WrestleMania of comic book worst collection ever episodes.
It really was.
Because I used to think about that. I think about that a lot, how we used to do two comics per episode.
And I don't know. It was, well, we didn't bullshit at the top, though.
We didn't bullshit at the top, but we kind of would, you know.
If you had a choice, more comic content or us bullshitting, I mean, the choice is clear.
Yeah, but I mean, that's also, you know, I honestly feel that us doing two comics is kind of more of a drain on us.
Oh, yeah.
Because
that's why we don't do it anymore.
It's a lot of comedy that has to come forth.
I mean, we don't really do that much comedy as it is. we try. We're not very good
at it. We don't really do.
I don't know. If you were going to do like a laughs per minute or LPMs for this show, I don't think you would get a high number.
Worst collection ever. Maybe comedy?
Question mark?
Could we possibly get a comedy?
Yeah.
But yeah, actually, the last time we read this, there was an issue. This is why I was confused, because I was reading this and I felt the plot was somewhat similar. Because I think it was also because I read this comic, this particular issue, before reading it for just now. So I was like, I know I've read this before.
Oh, okay.
But I also felt like the other issue that we read had something to do with
drugs.
Well, obviously, I feel like they all have to do with drugs. Let's be perfectly honest.
I think that's the whole thing.
Yeah, Cloak and Dagger is basically like, hey, don't do drugs or these motherfuckers are going to get you.
Hey, kids, no.
Dare. But it was, you know, there was also like a thing going on in like another country. I felt like there was an international bent to it. There was the priest, you know, I would think he was involved. I do specifically remember in that issue we read, there was... No, actually, I think it was an issue where Dagger was blind. Okay.
I think was that the one we read?
That was the one we read.
That's why it seems so fucking different now.
Yeah, because Dagger was blind. She's had something happen where she was blind and she couldn't see. And she was learning how to figure out her, like, she was staying in some apartment or whatever. Okay. And then there was a dog that she was like, I'll give you a cookie dog. And the dog said, and the dog went, good deal. But it was translated from, like, dog language.
Right.
That's the one thing I remember about that issue. And then there was also, like, a chick that had, like, a bunch of dark force, but she was wearing it like a weird bathing suit
or something. Yeah.
So that was going on, too. So, yeah. But this one is actually a bit more straightforward. And I just I had to look it up just before we started. So the TV series is still a thing.
Yes. Premiered like the second season.
It literally just premiered, I think, like last week.
Yes, we have not seen the TV.
Freeform.
Yes, well, we do not have cable.
I think you can watch it on Hulu.
Oh, okay.
I think it's available like in some form.
I can Google that, but yeah,
it is not free form.
Nor form. Yeah, so we haven't seen it. I feel like it's comes off as one of those, like, I'm a sexy teen show on the CW.
That's the thing. It's like, here's the thing.
I'm too old for those sexy teen shows.
When I look at a Cloak and Dagger.
I was too old for those sexy teen shows when I was in that demographic.
Right. But the thing, too, is like, when I think of like a Cloak and Dagger show, it's like, well, I want to see this. I want to see this comic. I mean, you're not going to obviously see that because, you know, we're in this age of like, he's like, oh, well, nobody's having these costumes or I don't know if they have costumes. I don't know.
I don't have any idea. I can't say anything about the Cloak and Dagger TV show because I've literally only seen like 30 second previews and that's it.
Yeah, that's what that's it. There's like a lot of Marvel shows that I have no idea actually exist, but they do.
Yeah,
like the Runaways.
Yeah,
that's another one.
Yep.
There's another. I feel like there's another one that I'm forgetting.
Oh man.
I mean, well, there's also Legion.
Yeah,
you know that. There's that one. I mean, there's just a lot of like.
Marvel content, I read today that they are going to make a Hawkeye show.
I thought it was supposed to be based on Kate Bishop.
No, it's going to be starring Jeremy Renner. That's according to like Variety and the Hollywood Reporter.
So what's it going to be on?
I do not know. I did not look that much into it. They just said it's going to be a thing. I'm guessing it'll be on Disney's new streaming service, right?
That would make sense to put it there. That would make sense. Either that or you're going to put it on some... I guess you would put it on Disney's service. That makes sense to put it there.
But as we know, I can't stand fucking Jeremy Renner. So I have no interest in
also Jeremy Renner doing TV.
But that's the thing. Like, if you were going to be like, it's based on Matt Fraction's run, I'd be like, hey, man, that sounds cool. Let's watch this. Nope, not with Jeremy Renner in it. I don't like him. I don't know why.
I thought he was okay in The Town.
I need to irrationally hate somebody. And I've picked Jeremy Renner.
Why do you hate Hawkeye so much?
It's not Hawkeye. I hate Jeremy Renner.
Oh my God, I think I hate Jeremy Renner.
Oh no, I know I hate Jeremy Renner.
No, I do hate him.
Oh no, no, I do. Okay, bye.
Oh my God. Anyways, Cloak and Dagger from 1986. The story is called Vacation. It's named after my favorite Go-Go song. And so basically,
vacation, all I ever wanted. I am Cloak and that is Dagger. We went to Paris, France with some dude that no one's seen before. Okay.
That's actually the plot of this book.
That's exactly what this plot is. I just sang it. Thanks for tuning in to Worst Collection Ever.
you should sing the plots of all of our songs, all of our comics.
Yeah. I only got the beginning. I didn't get the end of it.
Well, just do that part, and you can only sing four bars of... But it has to be done to four bars of The Go-Go's Vacation.
Okay.
So you have to look at, like, Detective Comics is a comic. Batman is an asshole in it.
That's a great song.
Actually, that's probably every Batman comic.
That's a little bit too general.
It's kind of too big.
That's a little too
Then there's Bane, and he breaks Batman's back now.
There you go.
And then Bane runs away.
Yeah, there you go. See? You're doing good.
Yeah, great.
Any comic could be summed up to the tune of The Go-Go's Vacation.
So this one, actually, they literally, like, so basically they're following, like,
There's drug smuggling.
So the story about Cloak and Dagger, if you're not aware, is that Tandy and Tyrone. That's their names.
They were
teenage runaways.
Teenage runaways on the streets of New York, and they were fed drugs.
Yeah, they were captured by the mob, and the mob was like, "Yo, we got to test out some of these fucking drugs and see how shit goes before we start selling it and getting people all crazy." And they're like, "Let's test it on."
The fact that the mob would test any of the drugs that they're selling was just such a ridiculous notion.
Hey, I'm a mob.
Fuck it, we're just fucking selling this. You gonna do? We're the mafia.
We're the mafia, but we respect the FDA.
We really care about what these illegal drugs are doing to the people we're selling them to.
Right? Yeah. So they tested it on the Cloak and Dagger, and they became Cloak and Dagger. And Cloak's basically, like, filled with the Dark Force.
Yes.
and Tandy or whatever. Fuck. Dagger. He wanted to say Cloak.
No.
But so Dagger is filled with light, and she has these light daggers. She goes, bam, 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 whatever.
She glows.
And she glows. And
she's also wearing what looks like a John Travolta disco suit.
Yeah, her outfit is always...
It's a little questionable, and there's also, like, she has a weird, like, circle on her face.
Yeah.
Around one eye, and at first I thought it was just her hair, but I think it's, like, paint.
It's some sort of paint, yeah.
It's very odd. Anyway.
Yeah, her outfit has always, as a young man.
Oh, well, yeah.
Anytime seeing...
Badge.
Yeah, right. I mean, anytime you see Dagger, like, I'd be like, even when I was a kid, like, when I would see this comic when I was, like, you know, 6 or 7 or whatever, like, a comic like this, and, you know, because she was, like, it was Secret Wars was going on around this time, too. Secret Wars 2, excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
So Cloak and Dagger farting around there, and I'd be like, look at that woman. Like, she's just hanging tit. Kinda.
Oh yeah,
because she's got
cutouts everywhere.
Because her chest has a giant cut. Her outfit has a giant cutout of a dagger.
Yes.
Which,
so the handle goes over the tops of her boobs.
Yeah.
So she instead of side boobing, she's top boobing.
It's going all the way down to her navel.
All the way down, like, past her navel, pretty much the top of her pubic bone.
Right. Yeah. It's intense.
Yeah. It's pretty
intense. You know. But so anyway, so they're chasing. So they're basically, since they got filled with drugs and they turn into these things, you know, turn into these superheroes.
Yeah.
They are like, well, we got to fight drugs all around the world.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Drugs
are bad. So they're following drugs to France.
Yeah, so they go to Paris, and I feel like they almost like teleport there because they show up in an alley. I feel like
Cole can do that.
And they have, I don't even know what this guy's name is.
Bill Clayton. Michael Clayton.
Who's just literally wearing jeans and a t-shirt.
Bill Walton.
He looks very 80s. He's very like Magnum PI without the coat and the mustache. He's got like a tight shirt.
Actually, he's under that. Actually, he looks like Andrew McCarthy.
Yeah.
He's basically Andrew McCarthy.
Yeah.
But without like, but it's just like in your the boringest version of Andrew McCarthy.
And he shows up and they're like,
This is actually what happens in between mannequin sequels.
Yeah, actually, that, you know what, if Dagger was a mannequin, I'd buy it. It makes sense. So they show up and they're like, here we are in this alleyway, and Bill's like, all right, man, let's go out there and get some regular people clothes so we can go do covert operations.
So he's like, yeah, let's get some clothes.
Let's do this thing. And he's really into Dagger. Like, he wants to have...
Well, he kind of can't... Kind of, how could you not be? I mean, you got this pretty blonde, platinum blonde running around with a dagger-shaped...
With top boob.
Top boob.
And she's like, no, we can't do that. Like, we're not... First off, you think we can just go out there. But second, we're not normal. And this is where I got really confused because, like, before, didn't they wear regular clothes before changing, before changing into their alter egos?
I feel like Cloak never does. I know Dagger
usually did. I felt like Cloak did, but maybe, I mean, he's just really become this, like, otherworldly being. He's almost like...
He's possessed by the Dark Force. I mean, he's got, his entire body is a Dark Force dimension portal.
Yeah, he kind of just hangs out in the background, like, kind of like Phantom Stranger.
Yeah. Yeah, he's very Phantom Stranger.
He is very Phantom Stranger. So this guy's just like, all right, hottie, I'm gonna go buy some clothes for you. Before I do that, let me tell you how you're going to need my help about smuggling, because I know the smugglers.
Because I'm Bill Clayton for some reason. Yeah, I looked him up in the...
It doesn't really matter. Like, there's this like weird flashback where he just pictures dead bodies everywhere.
Ooh.
While he's like telling them this story of how he knows mugger or how he knows drug trafficking.
So he can project dead body pictures everywhere.
I think it's just supposed to be him remembering things. Sure. But it's just a very odd panel.
Yeah, he's basically like, I looked him up in the Marvel like wiki. Mm-hmm. He has like 4 appearances only in this book. I have no idea what his purpose is.
Yeah.
But basically, he's like, look, I need to, let's go get some clothes, you know, and then Cloak, rightfully so, is like, do you see me, motherfucker? Yeah. I'm just a head floating in a bunch of Dark Force dimension.
Yeah.
And a giant cloak. What the hell am I supposed to do?
Yeah.
You want me to wear clothes? Dagger's like,
okay, well, I know you can't, but I think it is a good idea for me to like put on regular human clothes and like walk around France trying to see if we can find any of this drug smuggling ring.
Right, but also too, like Cloak is like, look, I don't want to upset Dagger because I need her to occasionally throw light into my body because I need that to keep me from going insane.
Yeah.
That's basically what's kind of been, it's the irony of the idea that they're fighting against drugs, but basically, you know, Cloak needs a fix from Dagger to keep him from losing his mind or whatever. So Andrew McCarthy goes out into France and he buys, I thought he was buying some bread here, but he's buying a shoe.
Yeah, he's buying I think they're pants. I don't even know what they are. Boots. I don't know. She ends up dressing like this Barbie that I used to have, who was like a...
Ooh, vacation Barbie.
Like, no, like a horse Barbie, where she had this like red hat.
Horse Barbie?
Yeah, she had a horse. She was like, I can't remember what she's called, like Southwestern Barbie.
I kind of wish it was just a Barbie with a horse head.
And she had like these pants, and then she had like all these layers and like a belt and like a coat that went over it and like a red hat and a scarf, and that's pretty much what what's her face looks like.
So
I still have that outfit.
So horse anyway. Barbie and Andrew McCarthy are like...
They're like, okay, see you later, Cloak. Cloak's like, yeah, I have.
Well, he goes and gets some clothes from him anyways, and he's like,
have you seen my body? Yeah, that's
have
right.
You literally cannot see
I
my
am,
body.
I am literally a sucking black hole.
I kind of wish there was
like,
a scene.
It's like if my soul became a body.
Like, your soul?
Yes, mine.
Jen's soul?
Yes, Jen's soul. It's
Jen's dark soul?
Jen's dark soul became an actual body. It's just the sucking black hole of emptiness.
I kind of wish there was a scene.
What, you wish my body could be, my soul could become a body?
Soul body? that sounds like a
fucking place that really rich millennials go to work out.
Soul. Oh, we gotta go to Jen's soul body.
No, we just gotta go to soul body. We're gonna, I don't know, lay on the floor and cry in the dark, and it'll be hot because that's usually what it is, and really loud music.
Yeah, so people be crying on the floor.
Yeah, so you come in
and they be playing a lot of like Sisters of Mercy.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know yet, because usually like if you go to Soul Cycle,
you're cycling.
You cycle in the dark, usually like not the dark, but like nicely lit, and it's very loud. So uh-huh. I'm thinking like that, but people come to my gym and they lay on yoga mats and they cry.
Actually sounds like fun.
Yeah.
Actually sounds like a good idea.
Yeah, it does actually.
How do you because we've talked about like, you know, it would be great if we could open our own business. Can you imagine? So like, we also, here's the thing. So comic book store slash coffee shop slash
soul body gym
where you just, there's a part of the store where people are just lying on the floor crying.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's the art.
It was just a guy crying.
It's an art space.
It's a space where you can go and cry. That's all it is. Nobody will judge you if you want to lay on this mat and cry.
Should we have a...
You know, like what? It would actually be a lot cheaper just to start that one first, because we don't need any inventory. We literally just need a whole bunch of cheap-ass yoga mats and, like, paint a space, like, you know. Some...
Oh, but then occasionally we can start putting comics in there.
Like millennial pink or whatever color it needs to be. It's... And just like, get, like, a fucking essential oil diffuser off of Amazon.
Hey, I'm thinking about, like, adding comics to my crying space.
Oh, can we call it the crying space? Or is it actually soul body, I think, is better?
Well, soul body. Well, actually, a lot of people come in there, it's like, hey, can I get like a workout? It's like, no, we're just going to cry.
Oh, no, but that's it. We are working out. We're working out our emotions.
Oh, man. These are good ideas, babe.
I thought so.
I like this.
I have good ideas.
So, he's like, yeah, Cloak's like, look, I better let her go and fucking hang out with this fucking Andrew McCarthy motherfucker. Mm-hmm. In the meantime, I'm going to, like, try to find these people. But so now, find these drugs. So now we actually do a quick run back to New York, where we get surprised Damien Hellstrom'd.
Yes, because there is this person who's, like, showing up.
Well, here's the thing. Okay, well, I'll explain in a second. But basically, like... I was reading through this book, and I just opened it to like a random page, and it was like, I'm Damien Hellstrom. I was like, oh, Hellstrom!
He's here.
He's my boy!
Yeah.
Son of Satan!
Like, there's a priest there, and he's like,
well,
hey,
this is
man.
Father Delgado.
Yeah, and he's like, I need some help.
Okay, so basically what he's explaining to Hellstrom, he's like, he calls Hellstrom, so he hires Hellstrom, calls him, you know, has him come all the way from Massachusetts, hell? Oh. Or hell.
Also Massachusetts, yeah.
Helston. He was, instead of Alston, he's like, I live in Helston.
Did we live in Helston?
Sure.
I mean, we could have.
We could have. Something, you know.
These two.
Our cats are having a brawl, so.
Yeah. Anyway.
But he goes all the way. He gets hired by this priest, Father Delgado. And what Father Delgado is wanting to do is he wants to find a way to perform an exorcism on, I think, Cloak or Dagger, or somehow excise to cast away Cloak.
Yeah, because he calls him a demon of darkness.
Yeah, and so
Cloak is an angel of light, or
right?
Whatever.
And Delgado, the father Delgado, has the hots for Dagger.
Man, see, if he could come to Soul Body, he could cry about that.
He could definitely cry on
because
our floor.
That's probably against, you know, Catholicism.
Yeah, I don't think the priests are
not
down
probably,
with that.
Probably it is.
Hey, priests. Yeah, if you're
hey, but bonus, at least she's over age 18.
I think so. She might be a they started out as teenagers. Oh, we don't know.
Then he's still creepy.
We don't know. Yeah, he
can't just be like a regular man having like regular feelings for like an age appropriate woman. He's got to be a fucking creep.
Oh, he's definitely a creep. He would go on to become insane because he couldn't handle this, apparently. But it's fun. This is funny because he calls Hellstrom over. Mm-hmm. And he's like, Hellstrom, can you do like an exorcism on like this deal? I got this problem I got. And he's like, they're not even here. You're dumb. It's like, you're a dumbass.
Right.
I'm leaving.
They're not here. Second off, it was drugs.
Third off, you're a priest. Fourth, she's an underage girl. Fifth,
we think she's an underage girl. We actually do not know her age.
We don't. Fifth, she's a comic book character, so we can't really, you know, whatever. But whatever. Still, sixth, this is creepy. And seventh, fuck you, pay me.
Fuck you, pay me, dude.
Fuck you, pay me. I'm going to my hotel. You wasted my time.
Yeah, pretty much.
And Hellstrom should. I mean, that's literally all he showed. I was like, because for a second I saw him in there because I just saw him, you know, pop up, and I was like, oh, sweet, Hellstrom's gonna do something.
I was like, oh shit, he's here. Nope. No, that's it. You don't see him for the rest of the book. He's gone.
And then is this where we jump to the police station now?
This is where we're still in New York, and there is this woman flying around, and what's her name? Mayhem?
She calls herself Mayhem. So basically the deal here with this, because we're dealing with a bunch of this cloak and dagger backstory shit going on here. So basically her deal is that she used to be
drugs?
Well, something happened where she was a police officer, and she was going to bust some drugs, and the drugs... So this police officer guy that she's coming after here set her up to get like murdered by the mob or something that was trying to shift some drugs. And these drugs were also kind of basically like killed her, but also like revived her so she can like do like things with gas. Mm. And so basically she shows up in this police station and she's like, motherfucker, I'm here to come get this guy that turned me over or that sold me out.
Mm-hmm.
And the police officer, she's like, I used to be this police officer, but now I'm this mayhem woman. And the police officer's like, yeah, I used to be a good person. Maybe you should still be that. And she's like, well, I'm just saying, I'm pissed. And she leaves. Yeah. And apparently,
isn't she also a zombie?
She's like a zombie. She's like a good zombie, though.
Yeah.
She's a good zombie.
So she leaves. So that's that. And then now we're back in France. And they're like walking around, and he's like giving her.
They literally on vacation.
Yeah. Then that's what's called vacation. And so they like, he's giving her like the tour, being like, hey, do you know this place is ancient? Like old armies used to hang out here. They're like, yeah, that's kind of what happened in Europe. And it probably happened in America.
That's like Europe, you know, the movie.
Wiped out all that history. Anyway, so they're like, this mugger like steals his wallet and he runs after him, and Cloak like stabs him with dagger, stabs him with a light dagger. And he's like, oh shit, is this dude dead? She's like, no, he's just immobilized because he has like evil in his heart.
So basically the deal is that the effects of Cloak and Dagger is that when Dagger throws you into his body, you get like really cold and you can be like driven insane and eventually die.
Yeah.
When Dagger hits you with her light, if you have any evil in you,
it immobilizes you
because you're in shock by being like, you basically have like this full body epiphany.
Yeah.
Of like, holy shit, I'm a shitty dude.
Yeah.
So
you're like paralyzed.
And you get paralyzed.
So there's like a carnival, like cool carnival. And like Cloak is like doing his own thing, thinking about smugglers, and then he happens to stumble across a drug deal. But yeah, not like a shit, like, you know, have a dime bag drug deal. Like, this is like, here's a whole fucking suitcase
of morphine.
Full of morphine. You know, I'm going to taste it with my finger because it's a comic book type of thing.
I always found that interesting when somebody...
They do that in movies all the time.
Yeah, but it's like, you know, if you do that,
people
like...
People actually do that?
Well, there's...
I mean, I've never seen anybody buy a whole suitcase full of cocaine, so I honestly don't know.
If you're sticking some more... Like, for instance, there's a scene in Tango and Cash where... I think it's in the very beginning where they bust this tanker... You know, where Stallone busts this tanker and he shoots it and it's filled with cocaine. Uh-huh. And he just does this thing where he goes, I was like, oh, it's cocaine. And then he licks it. And I'm like, well, wouldn't you get high? Like, I don't know.
See, that's the thing. I don't understand what good that does. Again,
I mean, granted, you could taste it and say that, like, yes, it's cocaine.
Bought a suitcase full of cocaine. I don't know how what good licking it does. But I don't know. Maybe it makes your face tingle. I don't know.
Well, maybe, it's a thing. But I mean, apparently they're testing the purity. I guess if you deal enough drugs, you have to test the purity.
You got to lick stuff.
Figure it out.
I mean, is that part of the game? Like, if you're just a drug dealer, you end up licking things? Anything?
Lollipops. Toads. Icicles.
Well, I mean, like, you know, and what if you get out of the game and you, like, I don't know, go to, like, Whole Foods where there's, like, bulk oatmeal. Do you, like, taste it? Do you lick that?
That's how you know drug dealer.
Like, oh, it's pure. This is pure oats.
That's what happens when you go, if you go to a store and you watch somebody like test like coffee or something.
Oh yeah, all those little fucking kids that stick their hands in those bulk things, they're all drug dealers.
Drug dealers.
All those little fucking 4-year-olds that shouldn't be touching shit. Yep, drug dealers.
Tell their parents.
Yep, tell on them.
I think your son's on drugs. I think your son is a dealer. What? Who are you?
So, you know, what, lady? And just walk away. Leave a card for Soul Body and just walk away.
Soul Body. Oh, we got your cards?
You're going to need to cry about this. The fact that
Hi, I'm Jen Soul Body.
Jen Soul Body?
Hi, I'm Jen Soul Body. Hello.
Can I do commercials?
Yes. Hi. I think you'd be required.
I'm Jen Soul Body. Hear it, Soul Bodies.
I think you should be on the floor crying, or not, just on the floor while everybody's crying around you.
Yeah, I feel it would be better. Like, I need to find somebody who's a pretty crier, like who can get that like one big fat tear. I'm more like a Claire Danes crier. Yeah. Where my whole face just goes. My whole face just turns into like the back of my head when I cry. Like, it's just such a fucking mess. I don't even understand.
Turns into Batista's bald head.
It does. It turns into all that like wrinkly bullshit going on Batista's bald head. I am not a pretty crier.
Actually, I like that. I'm not a pretty crier. It sounds like a country song.
It should be a country song.
I'm surprised that is not.
It might
a Carrie
be.
Underwood
I should
song.
Google it. Maybe it's a Casey Musgrave song. I gotta Google it.
So yeah.
So he Cloak watches this guy who's getting the morphine. Basically, double crosses guy. He murders him, and there are many holes in this man's body.
Yeah, it's a double cross. Yeah.
So he takes the morphine.
Actually, this guy's got all the holes.
He does have all the holes. He has many holes. So that guy gets fucked over, and the guy who stole the morphine drives away, and Cloak just goes with him.
Cloak follows him.
And we get this, like, narration boxing that I honestly did not give a fuck about.
Well, it's confusing because basically what we're seeing is Cloak tracking this guy through the shadows.
Yeah, so he's like this guy's basically driving up to Wayne Manor.
Ooh. Batman's a drug dealer.
Yeah, Batman probably is a drug dealer.
He's like, Batman's definitely tasted coke on a whim.
Oh, absolutely. So he like drives up to this castle. He gets out of the car. He goes. I mean, like it's a whole scene. Gets into the castle.
He goes to this
or chateau maybe.
Chateau.
Yeah.
And he goes to the basement of the chateau where there's a chem lab
and a bunch of dudes.
And you can actually get like a nice, concise way, concise explanation of how opium and morphine is made.
Yes.
I was like, ooh, science. I understand it now.
Yeah.
And so basically he's like, yeah, the dealer's like, yeah, I killed the guy that...
He's like, yeah, we didn't have to pay for this.
Fucking awesome.
Isn't that fucking great?
And then Cloak shows up and is like, motherfucker, I'm going to kill everybody. You will... Don't push heroin. And then all these...
Drugs are bad.
All these French guys are like shooting them with the guns. And it's not doing anything because he is full of the Dark Force.
Yeah.
And they're all calling him a demon, and shit goes majorly sideways for everybody here.
It goes majorly sideways. The guy who shot the guy when he stole the morphine runs out to the car. He grabs the suitcase and he runs. And while he's doing that, Cloak like envelops these four dudes, just goons basically, in his cape, and he's just like, it feeds his hunger. And then we have this like really fucked up picture of Cloak's face where he's kind of like orgasming or whatever.
Well, apparently because
he has like a hunger, and this is like satiating that hunger.
But it hurts too.
Yeah, and then so he like spits them out, and he's like, I won't succumb to this hunger.
Right.
So he spits out these dudes, and then he goes after the guy in the car.
Yeah.
And there's more narration boxing, and this guy in the car, like, Cloak appears in front of him, and he sucks the car into his cape.
This is very Spectre.
Yes.
This is very, actually reminds me
he's
of a...
He's very Spectre slash Perfect Stranger. Yeah, he's very Balky in this. Phantom Stranger.
Ooh, that'd be a good... See, that'd be a good mashup. Balky as Phantom Stranger.
Oh, God.
No, that's terrible.
I don't know enough Phantom Stranger or Perfect Stranger jokes to make a.
I don't either.
To do an impersonation.
It was on when we were young. Young.
I used to watch it. I didn't.
We were very young.
It was a show that like was on TGIF, so it was kind of like, well, I guess I'm forced to watch this.
Well, everybody was forced to watch.
I think by law, my family was forced to watch that show.
We all had to. We all had to watch it.
Yeah.
It was a national nightmare.
The national nightmare that was TGIF. So
those were the simpler times.
Yeah, remember when
the biggest
national nightmare was
fucking Urkel?
Was TGIF and fucking Urkel and fucking Uncle Jesse and
everybody fucking loving that shit. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
So it's
I'm gonna go cry about that.
Yeah, let's get to our soul body store.
Get to our studio,
but it's very very much like the Spectre, because there's a scene where I think in one of the old Spectre stories where there's a car driving, you know, like the Spectre's tracking some dude or whatever, and the car is driving and it drives into like the Spectre's mouth,
mm-hmm,
or whatever, because the Spectre's like just becomes all giant, or he becomes giant and actually picks up the car and throws it, mm-hmm, which is actually pretty great.
Kind of what this guy does.
Well, what he does basically is he
sucks the cape in, and then he's like,
the car drives into his giant cape.
And then he's like, no, I will not be nourished by a soul as foul as yours. Let death take you. And he just spits this guy off the side of a cliff.
What's going on in the car? Like, because it looks like he has a road in his body.
I think you just, if you get sucked into the cloak, I feel like you just kind of like are suspended in a nothingness.
Right.
So the car is still like driving.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's probably still got his foot on the gas. So the minute he opens his cloak again, he gets spit out back into reality.
Right.
So it's like another dimension or something in there.
I think, well, it is. It's a Dark Force dimension. Yeah. So.
So he gets spit out. This is a superhero who does not give a fuck about lives.
No.
Because he gets spit out. This guy hits the cliff on the way down. His car explodes.
Nice.
And it says, the cloak cannot be blamed for an accidental death. Can he? And I'm like, that wasn't an accident, but okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That's like when Batman, like, kills somebody. Like, his act of, like, breaking every bone in that dude's body leads to that guy dying on the operating table. Batman's like, I didn't kill him. And you're like,
Yeah. It's a very Batman death going on here. Yeah.
He's like, I didn't cause that accident where I literally threw that car off a cliff.
That's how Cloak and Dagger ends. Because, we didn't talk about the cover. Basically, the cover, Mike Mignola cover, by the way.
Mm-hmm. It's a cool cover.
It's basically, like, the scene in the Chemist's Chem Lab, where Cloak is just standing there and a bunch of goons are shooting him.
But
I was just gonna say that guy has
this guy
an interesting ass.
I feel like they were really like, there's no women on this cover, but we've got to draw somebody who's got.
I mean, Dagger's up here in a tiny box, but I mean, we need
the same because like his ass is like sticking out, and I feel like if you turned him, his chest would be very prominent because it looks like he's doing that like back bend.
Oh yeah, he's doing the '90s back bend.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, but yes, that's basically the cover. Yeah, we didn't talk about it before, but yeah, it's basically what happens later on in the book.
Yeah,
so
they're just shooting into Cloak.
Not a bad cover. Mike Mignola. It's always fun to see random non-Hellboy things. Yeah. I got a few Quasar issues of him doing art, too, so that's always pleasant. But would you want to read the next issue of Cloak and Dagger, Volume 3?
Maybe.
Maybe?
I'll give it a maybe. Because, I mean, I did not hate it. I'm not super interested in it, but if we had the next issue, I'd probably read it.
I'm kind of the same boat, too, to be honest, because I don't want to seek it out, but at the same time, if this just happened to show up in, like, a random comic buy.
Yeah, like in a grab bag or something.
I might give it a shot. I know eventually Dagger does join the circus that she sees.
Oh, okay.
For, like, an issue.
Sure.
Because Bill Clayton, or whatever, Michael Clayton, gave her a taste of the real world for a little bit, and she's like, I don't want to hang out with Cloak because he kind of sucks. And she's right. He's kind of a crazy. I mean, they're filled with drugs and they got altered permanently, so I guess they'll do it to you. But
yeah.
But I don't know. Yeah, we'll see. We have to see if it comes across. I did actually kind of enjoy this.
Yeah.
I did kind of enjoy this. I'm glad I got around to reading this again. So but that's it for this week's show. Thank you for listening. Please find us on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at Angry Hero Sean. That's S-H-A-W-N.
And I'm at Jen Stansfield on Twitter and Instagram. You can find us on Facebook, Worst Collection Ever. Email the show, worstcollectionever@gmail.com. Put a comment on Facebook if you'd go to Soulbody.
Yeah, let us know if Soulbody is a good idea, because
is this a good business venture for us?
Maybe it is.
So, email the show, worstcollectionever@gmail.com.
Please rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get the show. If you listen to Spotify, you can find us on Spotify. That would be really dope, because apparently everybody's using Spotify to maybe listen to podcasts. I don't know. I don't think that's happening, but maybe if you are, and maybe you should be, maybe I should be, please give us some good vibes there, too.
Are you using Himalaya or whatever that thing is?
There's too many.
I know.
We're not on a Luminary.
Oh, yeah, that's true. We are not, because that's like a behind a paywall.
Yeah, we're not that good.
Nope.
We're not Malcolm Gladwell good. You imagine Malcolm Gladwell? Malcolm Gladwell hosting this show would be really good.
Could we get him, like, as a guest?
Sure.
All right.
I'm sure he's not doing anything.
That'll be our goal after we open Soulbody.
I'm certain that once he realizes we have a quality crying space here in the suburban
it's definitely
Denver.
It's going to be a TED Talk. It's a TED Talk waiting to happen.
He's going
to
be like, you know what?
I opened up a crying space.
So you know what? I think I want to produce this show now.
Why wouldn't you?
Come on over.
Yeah.
We're gonna take this to the top.
I get it.
Revisionist History. Is it Revisionist History? Is that his other show?
Oh, I don't know.
Whatever. I don't even know. Everybody talks about Malcolm Gladwell.
You've got a bunch of books.
I know he's a book guy, and I've listened to some of his show. I still don't know, like, who he is.
He's just like a guy who's like, man, if you want to be really good at something, it takes 10,000 hours to be really good at something.
Oh, is he one of those guys?
Yeah. He's like, here's my book, The Tipping Point. I wrote this. And he does, like, all these, like, you can be great, self-help.
I thought he was, like, a history guy.
He might have a little bit of history, but I think what he's known for is more, like, those, like, you can be good at stuff, and this is how, like, people throughout history or how famous people got good at stuff by practicing this many hours and by doing that. Yeah, it's all that sort of shit. It's kind of like a feel-good, like, touchy-feely.
Why do we like this stuff?
I don't.
I know, but I'm just like, I don't understand sometimes.
Well, because people want to feel that they have some sort of control over it. And it's most of the time there's no control. It's just fucking luck, man.
Well, luck is basically like preparation equals.
No, I mean, luck is luck. Sometimes you just get fucking lucky.
True.
It doesn't mean that you didn't work hard, that you didn't like do this, but you also have to have just a little bit of luck.
Yeah. No, wait. I've been there. You've been there. Yeah. So that's how it goes.
Yeah.
Anyways, Malcolm Gladwell, soon to come on this podcast.
Yeah, one day.
One day. One day in hell, probably.
Yeah, well, you know, we'll just keep doing this podcast long enough. Maybe he'll show up.
Episode 11,000.
It'll be the one. By that time, we're 97 years old. He's probably dead.
Oh, he's definitely dead. Well, maybe by that time, we'll figure out that head technology.
Oh, yeah, like in Futurama. Yeah, and then he has no choice because he can't go anywhere.
I'll just bring the head over. I'm just going to get it out of the library. Just be like, hey, I'm taking this.
Can you check out a head?
Hi, I'm really... Oh, my God.
That was never addressed in Futurama. If you can actually check out a head.
You should.
I mean, that you'd figure, right?
Excuse me, there's a 97-year-old man stealing Malcolm Gladwell's head, and he wants to do his podcast.
Yep.
Please stop him.
Yes.
He's getting away on his...
slowly walking away.
He's slowly walking away, but he's getting into a car because we still have cars far.
Cars. No. Did you ever... You saw that commercial, right? It's like a Toyota commercial.
Uh-oh.
And it's like an older woman, and she's like on a scooter. And like a, it's basically like a Segway, but it's for old people. And it's like,
yeah,
a
Rascal.
No. It's like a standing one.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's like,
well, it's just a Segway. What's the difference? Yeah, old person can use a Segway.
It's a Segway, but it's more like a. I can't really explain it.
They're ageist Segways.
It's just like, hey, let Toyota like bring you into the future. But it's like she's zipping down this mall on her little scooter. And she sees an older gentleman walking her way, and she's like, slow down so she could like make eye contact and smile at this older guy. And it's like, Toyota, making your life better or whatever.
Wait, so they produce old people fuck scooters?
I can't explain it. I guess, yeah.
I should watch this commercial. Is it just a rib or is it a real product?
No, I think it's a real product. I got to find this thing again. I feel like like maybe it's like what Toyota's going to do in the future, but really it's kind of like Tinder.
Why are we not doing flying cars? Why are you making old people fuck scooters?
It's Tinder for old people.
Okay, great. But I'm saying, why are they getting into the dating business? Why are they not making flying cars or flying trucks?
I don't know.
Can you imagine by this point Steve Austin could have a flying truck?
I mean, is only Steve Austin going to have a
Austin could have a flying truck. He's going to have the first flying truck. He's going to fly around the mean airways of Los Angeles.
Los Angeles.
All right. Well, Jen's going to show me this video. We got to go.
I think this is it.
That's just a scooter.
No, I got to find this. Okay. I got to find this thing. Maybe it's not Toyota. I will find it.
All right. Well, we'll find it. We'll report to you if you want to continue this conversation with old people fuck scooters on our Facebook or Instagram or whatever the fuck it is that we talk about. Please do. Thank you for listening, folks. And we'll talk to you again next time.
Bye.